Father, we must remember who we belong to. Because I think that's where we kind of put titles on ourselves of this world. We are a mom, we're a teacher, we're this, we're that, our careers, everything. But we belong to him first. The Bible says that we are children and we are made in his image. Like, we look at a baby, and I know I joked with this a lot, but like when I had my kids, I was like, man, my kids look like their father a lot and not a whole lot like me. But when you look at a baby when it's first born, you can see the little, maybe the parents' smiles or the parents', you know, certain mannerisms, characters, sometimes even the habits we pass along to our kids, whether we like it or not. But in the same way, when we belong to God, we carry his fingerprints on our lives. We have his characters. He has literally ingrained us in it. We were created to reflect his love, his wisdom, his peace, his kindness, and his strength. But we all know that there is an enemy out there that is trying to rob us of that. So instead of believing that the truth of who we are, that we are chosen, that we are loved, that we are capable, and that we are called, we begin to believe, oh, I'm failing. I'm not enough. I messed up everything. I can't fix it. And we start believing the lies that are placed into our minds and our thoughts. But 2 Timothy 1-7, it says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear and timidity. I'm saying it wrong still, but that's okay. But of power, love, and self-discipline." Some versions say self-control or sound mind. But he has given us that, and he's given it freely. Fear is real. Fear is definitely something that we will all face. We will all go through it. But I think that's why God has written it out in the Bible of fear not, like 365 times in the Bible, is because I think he knew that we would struggle with fear. I think he knew that. But fear is a natural emotion, and a response to danger. Every time we think that something's happening in life, we tend to all of a sudden go to worst case scenario. Again, maybe it's just me, but I definitely do that too. But we go to worst case scenario where we think, oh, this is not going to go well. And we instantly just go down this rabbit hole. And our minds are it is amazing how God has made our minds and the brain and how it works. And I have been reading a bunch of books lately. I have not finished one completed, like, entirely, because that's just who I am, little ADHD here. But I read little pieces when I ever feel like I need to. But Dr. Carolyn Leaf, she is a woman that kind of is about working on mental health, and she writes books about the brain. And one thing she has said, that even just 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain to such an extent that it can be measured on a brain scan. Let's just pause for a second. Isn't that cool how God made our bodies? Is that when we come to him in prayer, that our brains literally get in tune with his word. When we are focused on praying, he literally gives us that. Like, that blows my mind, and it's so true. But God tells us to bring our thoughts, all of our thoughts, to him. 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, "We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ." When we have those thoughts, we, instead of just following suit and just going down that rabbit trail, I do it all the time. This is something that maybe we're not going to figure out right off the hop, but it might be a lifetime of figuring this out, of taking our thoughts captive. Instead of thinking of the worst case scenario, can we replace it maybe with, what is God saying about this? What does his word say? What is the truth? Not the truth of what everybody's opinions and what everyone says, even on social media, but what is the truth? And am I listening to the fear, or am I actually listening to the truth of what God says? It's so important. Again, it's not easy, but it is so, so important. We are not called to live enslaved to fear. You are a daughter of God. You are known by name, and God has not forgotten you in any season. And even if it's a hard season right now, he has not forgotten you, even if he's quiet in the moment. My second point, God has already given you what you need. Sometimes we think that we have to earn things or we have to, you know, do different things. But no, he's given us everything that we need. He has already given us authority. That is a huge word, authority. That means he's given us his power to help us along, to give us wisdom. He's given us wisdom. He's given us truth. He's given us the Holy Spirit to literally have communion with God, with him. And he's given us, of course, his word that gives the truth. And he's given us Jesus. Jesus came. He walked on this earth. He went through everything that we face, that we understand. Jesus walked through so many different things, like grief, exhaustion, betrayal, pain, temptation, sorrow, and suffering. Because Jesus walked this earth, we serve a Savior who understands us so personally. Let's just, again, pause in that moment and remember that we serve a God who understands us so personally, that he gave his Son to walk this earth to help us understand what he is saying and what he's doing, and he's shown us. And then, of course, Jesus resurrected, and he gave us the Holy Spirit. He said, they need help. They really desperately need some help. So we need the Holy Spirit. We need it. We need it daily. Not just, you know, in the perfect time when our kids are so quiet, because that always happens every single day. But we need it in the times where we're traveling to just say, God, give me something. Give me insight. Give me wisdom on something in my daily life. And we can expect him to speak to us. Joshua 1:9, some of you probably know because this is one of my favorites, but it's super simple. But it says, this is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Not sometimes, not when he feels like it. He is with us wherever we go. And as mothers, we know that there's different seasons. We know that there's the seasons of infant years. I love the infant years, to be honest. That was my favorite, to just hold my baby and cuddle. Like, that was my favorite. Forget the house cleaning, all that. Like, I was so zoned in. But then there's the sleepless nights that felt like would never end, and it still, from time to time, feels like that happens. But then there's the school years, where our kids are learning who they are. Then there's the teenage years. I have not hit it, but I've heard a lot of stories. But again, they are finding who they are, and it is challenging to walk alongside and help them grow, but we try our best. There's also the seasons of adult children. Me and Robin talked about this morning. Like, even though we're adults, we still need our moms and dads. Let's be real. Like, yeah, I could go on for many stories, but something never changes. We still need our parents, even till the end. When they pass, we still need our parents, and we miss them. And even grandchildren, like, there's so many different seasons, but there's also the seasons of the waiting, where we wait in anticipation, where we long to have a kid, or even just the seasons of waiting to see, Did we do this right? Did I raise my kids up enough to know that there is a God who loves them and who is never gonna leave them? There's seasons of loss where there's miscarry. There's seasons where you lose your mom and dad. There are seasons where it hits you unexpectedly. There are seasons that catch us off guard. And I think this one kind of hits home to me personally, but there's seasons of rebuilding where he kind of tears us down a little bit, or life just seems to just tear us all down and we're just like this vulnerable mess. But then he rebuilds. And it is not an easy, quick process, but it is a rebuilding process. And it takes time. Just like building a house, it takes a lot more time than we usually expect or want. There are seasons. And it stretches us differently in so many different ways. And not just moms, but dads too, men, women. We all have some of those seasons. But God already knew every season before you ever arrived there. I was at the Pastor's Wives Retreat a couple months ago, and in my season of rebuilding, I call it my season of rebuilding because it sure felt like it, there was one thing. I love Colleen. She was our speaker. We call her the mother of all pastor's wives because she just resembles so much. She is so funny. She is hilarious, but yet she has so much wisdom. She just, every time you talk to her, you walk away being like, man, I feel good. Like, you just feel so, so happy. And just, there's those certain people that can just, like, yeah, you walk away from any conversation, whether it's a random, like, hey, I don't know, like, my kid threw up in the back seat. You know, like, just any random thing. And yet she can turn it and just be like, man, that God is good. And so, anyways, but she said something. We were talking along the lines, and I think that's why God kind of gave me this word for you guys today, is that we were talking about being daughters of the King. And it comes with, we don't just think of the responsibility. Sometimes we do just think about, oh, well, I have to be this. I have to do this. But no, daughters of the King comes with the blessing too. And one thing that she said, we were talking about just different seasons of grief and wilderness and kind of feeling lost. And one thing she said was, we can thrive in wilderness with God. If he leads you into a wilderness, he will be there and walk you through it. And that just really hit me. Like, if I didn't take anything, I did take a lot. Trust me, I did. But that just spoke to me so much, is that, like, I never think of the word wilderness and thrive. I never. Like, that does not go in my vocabulary. But I was challenged to that yes, we can thrive. We can see the blessings in the wilderness, the times of wilderness. Another person that I heard recently just say is, your weakest prayer that you pray in a season where you're struggling may be the strongest prayer that your child ever receives. That in itself, moms, your prayers matter. I know when my mom is praying, I can just feel it. Or if I'm struggling, like last night or today or yesterday, I'm like, Mom, please pray, because my nerves are getting me. But, and she prays. Your prayers are never small. No matter if all you can get out is, God, help me. That is a huge prayer in itself, because it comes with a heart that is longing to say, God, help me raise my kids to be the best that they can be, that what you have called them to be. Help my kids to walk their life and to never let go of you. Those are big prayers, just because you say, God, help me. In the Bible, it talks about having faith the size of a mustard seed. Those are like the smallest seeds ever. If you have not seen one, like, look it up or grab one or something. Get your hands on one. It is so, so small. And yet God says, if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. That's God working in and through us. The authority God gives us, even in the home, maybe in the quiet times, maybe when we don't even share our concerns or our worries, God is there and he is powerful and he can move in so many different ways. Proverbs 1:8 says, my child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instructions. Or in another translation, it says, do not forsake your mother's teaching. Just kind of like I said before, the father instructs, he leads, he guides, and he corrects. But yet the mother comes alongside and teaches constantly. You teach through your words, your actions, your kindness, your perseverance, your repentance when you mess up. Trust me, there's more times than not that I'm asking my kids for forgiveness because of my attitude or if I snapped at something. even in the vulnerable moments, our children are learning from us. They are watching every part of us. The next slide, I have a couple of pictures that I wanted to share. So this is my mom. I love her. She is a goofball, and I probably get it from her, not gonna lie. She is a rock star, and I am always, like, I get so frustrated sometimes because of what she says, but yet, because it's so simple, you're like, yes, Mom, I know, but yet, like, she just brings so much wisdom and insight, and I know that her prayers, like, she is a prayer warrior, and I love her to bits. The next picture I have is my grandma's on the far left of you. Then there's Macy and my sister Angie and Abby and myself. This was just taken around Christmas time as we went to go visit her. But this lady, my grandma, holy, she is a firecracker. She doesn't look like it. She's a sweet old lady, but man, she prays. And she, even with all of us cousins, we, you know, there are times where we've walked away or we've gotten really mad. And my grandma is, I know she's behind each and every one of us, loving on us, taking us in no matter where we are in our lives and loving on us and praying for us. And my sister, I joke that she's like my little second mom because it's true. She's 10 years older than me. And growing up, she was like a mom to me. But this, I added her in because she, like, everyone has a story. And God has not failed in moments. And the three ladies, my sister, my mom, my grandma, and now my mother-in-law, all of these ladies instill truth. And if you don't even have people like that, if you're like, well, Michelle, like, I don't understand that because I've never been there. I hope and I pray that God brings somebody along your life who will uplift you, who will love on you, who will give you the truth when you need it, whether it's nice or not. But these ladies, each and everyone, I could have posted pictures of all of you guys because you've instilled in me, you've given me wisdom as well. And you've given wisdom to anyone who walks alongside. But God is good. And people, even though we don't like it sometimes, but people are watching us, and especially our children, they are watching us, how we handle hardships, how we handle entrusting God in those hard seasons and the good seasons. They're watching us learning how to forgive in situations where it's hard to love, to keep going. Ladies, you are amazing. You are absolutely amazing. And if you don't feel that, I hope and pray that you do because you are truly loved. And your children don't want perfection. I think that was one thing somebody said, I can't remember who it was, but somebody just recently was like, man, you guys, your church is growing. Like, things sound so amazing and awesome. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's because me and Matt are so perfect. No, that's the complete opposite. That's the complete opposite. It is not us. It is God working in and through us, even in our mistakes. Like, we have tried, we have failed many times within these 6 years. But God is good. But our children don't want the perfection. They want to see the realness of it all. They want to see that to help them understand. So when they go through those challenges, it may look different. Just like my mom and my sister and my grandma, it all looks different. Even in my story, it all looks different. And yet the same thing sticks, is that God is there. And we trust God and we never let go. Even when it's like, God, I'm angry right now. Like, this isn't going well. They want us to see that we walk the walk, not just talk the talk. My last point here, and I'll wrap up, is that there is hope, restoration, and grace in every season. Many mothers, we carry silent regrets. And maybe we feel like you've failed or you've lost yourself in the process of being a mom, or you've missed moments with your kids, where you've made mistakes, you see them and you see them struggling in certain areas that you have maybe struggled with or maybe you haven't, and you worry and you feel like, oh, maybe my family's falling apart because of this. But hear this today so clearly that there is hope. It may take, you know, a month, may take years, it may take almost the whole entire life to figure it out, but God still remains, and we have to stop letting the enemy have a hold on our minds and in our families. We need to take authority that God has given us, even in our houses, to be like, no, that doesn't come in my house. That does not. And that's not just you being sassy. That is you coming with the power of the Holy Spirit in you saying, no, I refuse to let division come in my house. I refuse to let our family be destroyed by social media and what it says and different personalities or different things. God can and will restore. He is going to do what he has always done. Like my mom has always said, God's got this. The truth is that God restores. The truth is that God heals. The truth is that God forgives and God renews. No matter what, no matter what we are holding on to with past regrets, God heals and will make all things new. We read in so many pieces of scripture that he talks about how there's clay and he molds and he changes. And sometimes there is a breaking, there is a tearing down, but then he rebuilds. We read in so many different ways of how God is going to take ashes and turn them into something beautiful. And we have to believe that today, especially as moms. Walk away with excitement and encourage because God is so good and he will restore. And if you have to stay in that season where you're like, I don't know. Well, then just be there. Be in that season, but don't hold on to so much that we forget about God's truth, that we forget about what God is going to do in those seasons. A huge part of faith is surrender. I don't like it. I struggle with it because I like to have control. And us moms, I think God has given us the ability to be a little controlling sometimes because he is in control. And yet there is times where we are going to have to let go and let God do what he only can do. He is in control. We are not in control of everything that happens. I'm sorry to say. You can try. And if you have like the key, let me know. But like every time I try, it does not work. It does not work. But sometimes the best thing that we can say in those moments where we are struggling is, God, I trust you. Even just like we say about our prayer, of our praise times, you know, like sometimes we have to tell our bodies to praise the Lord. Like, I don't care what I've gone through, I'm going to praise the Lord. And we have to say that. We have to declare it because then we are shifting our mindset. God is in control and God has got this. Isaiah 41:10 says, my version is a little different, and I really like this one, so I'm going to read it off the screen. It says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. God has you. He's not asking you to carry every burden alone. He is asking you to walk with him through it. Give yourself grace. And I know I struggle with this. Like, this is still a struggle for me. I'm pretty hard on myself, and I know it. But let's try to do better at giving ourselves more grace, the grace that comes from God. Because he's asking us to walk with him through it. He wants to be a part of it. And he's still writing your story. You might be in the season of giving birth soon, or you still might be in the season of waiting or having adult children or having grandchildren. Every season comes with a purpose and a calling that he gives us. And it may change, but God is still writing your story. So that is what I'm going to leave you with. Remember, your identity comes from God, not from fear or failure. God has already equipped you in this season. God brings restoration where fear and regret once lived. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for who you are. Lord, I thank you that you have given us your word that is so alive that even in times where we read it one day and it says something, and then all of a sudden we read it the next day and it is something completely different, but it is exactly what we needed. God, we thank you for your truth. Lord, I pray in everyone's hearts that we would protect. We'd protect ourselves, but also to make you a part of every single detail of our lives. God, I thank you that you see us. I thank you that you know us, that you walk with us in any season. Whatever we go through, you are there, and you will bring us through it. So, Lord, help us to be encouraged to not live in fear. Help us to walk in authority with you, Father, to not carry the shame that we've held on to for so many years, but to be able to release it and surrender to you. Because, God, it doesn't prove, like, our worth is so much to you. And I thank you for that. I thank you that you've created us. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, we are going to, I believe, go into a time of communion. We have one more song that we're going to sing called Living Hope. It's going to take me just a second to get my sorts together, but we're going to take communion. So at this time, I just want you guys to, whether it's with your family, whether it's with your spouse, whether it's just even by yourself, if you want, take this time to reflect and just say, God, what do you want for me today? What do you want to speak to me? Because he is speaking. He is there. He wants to talk with us. He wants the community with us. And so we're just going to take the time to pause as we kind of get ready for worship and as we take part in communion.